The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Well, with that verse, Proverbs 1, verse 7, we welcome you to this very, very special edition of Exploring the Word. My name is Alex McFarland. With me is Bert Harper. Hello, my dear brother.
Good morning, Alex. It's good to see you. I say good morning because this is a pre-record, and when we're recording this, it's morning. But a lot of people may hear this in the afternoon, but some may hear it in the morning.
And some may hear it in the middle of the night.
Exactly right.
You know, but we welcome you. It's very great to be with you all, and we're recording at the studios of the American Family Radio Network. And if you've got your Bible, get it and turn to the Old Testament book of Proverbs, because what we're going to do, we're going to, in the next few sessions, we're going to make an attempt to go through the entire 31 chapters of God's book on wisdom.
Wisdom, in all you're getting, get wisdom.
Sure.
A New Testament concept to that is the book of James, when it talks about if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who
yes.
gives liberally.
Abundantly.
Abundantly, and does not cause turmoil, or, you know, where the King James Version says it, you know, get wisdom. And you know, it's not dysfunctional.
Yeah.
It brings on real insight, doesn't it?
Well, you know, there are a lot of prayers that we don't know how God will answer. I mean, if you pray for a job, if you pray for a new car, you know, God will give you what you need, maybe not necessarily what you want. But there's two prayers that I know of that God has promised to answer in the affirmative. One is the salvation prayer. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you turn to Christ and ask to be saved, he will save you. But this is so exciting, Bert. Another prayer that God has promised to answer in the affirmative is if we ask him for wisdom.
Amen. And we all need wisdom. You know, I've heard this about young men. And one of the things that I've heard people brag on them, if they have wisdom.
Yeah.
How can a young man cleanse his ways?
Right.
By taking heed to the word of God.
Yeah.
So here's the conclusion. For wisdom, godly wisdom, which is spiritual, practical, you know, you don't separate those, do you?
That's right.
They're very similar, moral. The idea is go to God, and it's God's word. And in the middle of a new Old Testament, you have Psalms and Proverbs. And one concentrates on the praise, and the other one is Proverbs, and it concentrates on the wisdom.
It really does.
Alex, let me ask you this, and this is just very practical for those that like to do Bible reading. One of the greatest times in my life of when God was doing a work in my life, I would read Psalms and Proverbs.
Yeah.
Okay? There's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs, so I'd read a proverb a day, but along with that proverb, I would read some psalms, different ones. Some of them psalms are three or four verses, six verses. Others are hundred verses. But I would read psalms, and it was just like God was doing a great work in my life.
Right.
You know,
right.
It was like through the psalms, I was pouring my heart out to God.
Right.
And through proverbs, he was pouring his wisdom into me.
I believe it.
I think it works that way.
Well, you know, it's been said that the strength of youth is physical. The strength of older age is mental and spiritual. And, you know, what's such a double blessing is if you can be young and in your prime and yet also have maturity and wisdom, and you'll only get that through the Word of God. I do think it's interesting, you know, when we, on Exploring the Word, go through various books of the Bible, we often look at how many verses and how many chapters and things like that. Proverbs famously has 31 chapters. And it is ideal to read in a month. I mean, it really is. For just a few moments a day, folks, you can read a chapter out of the book of Proverbs, and you can be tutored in God's school of wisdom. Let me make this clarification, too, that intelligence and wisdom are really two different things. Now, there are a lot of people that have maybe a very sharp IQ, and maybe they're what we might call smart in terms of knowledge of data. But really, wisdom is something even deeper than that, isn't it, Bert?
It is. Now, knowledge and wisdom, intellectual, knowledge and wisdom can and should go hand in hand.
Right, ideally.
Whereas intellectualism, being an intellect, and wisdom may not go hand in hand.
Right.
You know, they do not run parallel. Many times they're contrasted to one another. My dad, who was not a formally educated man, but had great wisdom. He spent time in the Word of God as a layman, and I respected his wisdom. And he shared with me early on when I started my education, he was wanting me to be educated and go as far as I could. But he warned me. He said, Bert, the greatest fools I've ever met are the educated fools.
Yeah.
And the book of Psalms makes it plain, the fool has said in his heart, there's no God.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of the people we hear today, because of atheism being accepted, and it's kind of popular to be atheist today, Alex. I mean, you know, they're—
Oh, it's kind of chic and hip to be an atheist. And you know what? At university campuses, I'll meet people that might have a master's or a PhD, but they'll say, well, you know, this universe came from nothing. Well, we've never observed nothing produce something. And yet people are willfully, doggedly insistent upon their atheism, which the Bible has a word for that, the fool.
Yeah, it does.
Foolish. But in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it says, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline. Now, let's talk about the word discipline for a moment. Doesn't self-control and character and the ability to live right and with the help of God, live morally, isn't that hand-in-hand with being a wise person?
It is. You know, being able to observe and look, I quoted my dad. I want to do it one more time. And I think this is logical. My dad poured into my heart wisdom, and we're talking about the wisdom book.
Yeah.
And he said, son, fools can learn by hitting their head on the rocks. A smart man will learn by observing others hit their heads on the rocks.
Wow.
And when you read the book of Proverbs, and then when you go over and parallel that with the book of Ecclesiastes,
mm-hmm.
you will find that wisdom is very important. In all you're getting, get wisdom.
Yeah.
And so the book of Proverbs is pouring it out and giving it. And the first two verses from Solomon to us through the Holy Spirit, great combination, to know wisdom and discipline. Alex, wisdom, does it bring on discipline, and does discipline bring on wisdom? Are they?
Well, I think if we let wisdom really direct our life, if we practically apply the truth that God has shown us. And, you know, R.C. Sproul, a great theologian, said all truth is God's truth. I mean, things that are true are the way things really are. Truth has been defined as that which corresponds to reality. I mean, Bert, I think there are a lot of people in our day and age that are living in a state of unreality. Because look, I mean, you can't spend money with no boundaries and not pay some financial consequence. You can't abuse your body and not wind up in the hospital bed one day. You can't just live for sin and selfishness and the flesh and not suffer some repercussions. And so it's not only unwise, it's unrealistic to think that we can live however we want to live and not have a day of reckoning at some point. So part of Proverbs is to say, look, if you are wise, you will see life from God's perspective and you'll amend your life in light of God's
Amen.
Revelation.
Let's go back. Solomon is the author of most of the Proverbs.
Right.
We can look and see that, you know, one or two other people contributed as well. We know that, and it's in the Scriptures. It was during the United Kingdom, but let's think about when Solomon got this wisdom, okay? God asked him, what could I do for you, basically? And he had using those two terms, wisdom and discipline, he had the discipline to ask for wisdom rather than great riches and great power.
That's true.
That you know, he demonstrated discipline because—
And God really smiled on that.
He did. And because of that, God gave it to him, and it was best demonstrated. Let's remember that about the child, the one child that was left of the two women.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, he didn't know which one was telling the truth or not, right?
Yeah.
One had rolled over on her child and killed it.
Yeah.
And now you had these two women coming before Solomon, and he says, divide the child.
Yeah.
Okay? And the real mother says, oh, no, let the child live. The other woman take it. And Solomon, through wisdom, said, no, you have the child.
Yeah.
That was basically the famous demonstration of his wisdom, which was very practical.
Yeah, very practical. And that showed that God was really directing his heart. And God will and can direct our hearts. You know, Bert, we've all got decisions we've got to make. And I don't know about you, but I find myself praying for wisdom so much. We oftentimes put our heart toward desiring things, or we want to make more money, or we want this or that. But I would say the most practical, beneficial thing that you could ever do for yourself, more than save up for that, you know, Hawaiian vacation or whatever, because we tend toward materialism, we can be very materialistic. But the wisest thing you'll ever do is to seek God's perspective on life, and then with his help, implement it and live it.
Amen. Now, in my life, I want to bring it personal. Then I want you to go through, you know, the scriptures here that you have in your outline that deal with the Bible's contemporary, the books of the Bible, the verse chapters of the Bible surrounding the book of Proverbs. In other words, I would say historically and grammatically, it doesn't stand by itself alone.
Right.
It doesn't have to. But I would say this in my life. First, being married, man, I needed God's wisdom, because I just want to tell you, men and women are different, and I praise the Lord for the difference. Amen?
Right,
and,
right.
But yet, you know, it says that we've got to live with our wives in an understanding way.
Right.
That's wisdom. Okay.
Yes.
Then I became a father of three sons, and I want to tell you, I needed the wisdom of God. In that meantime, I became a pastor of congregations of, now let's call them what God called them, sheep, okay?
Right.
And it was not really a shepherding the sheep. Alex, I hate to tell you this, it was a sheep trying to help other sheep. You catch what I'm saying?
I know
we're considered shepherds as pastors, but honestly, we're still sheep, you know?
That's right. We ourselves are disciples in the making.
And I just want to say, I was bound to go to God for wisdom because I knew I did not have it within myself.
Yeah.
And so, but I want to ask this one more thing before you give this list. Is praying for wisdom without going to the Word of God kind of not really praying at all when he's already given us? You know what? He's
exactly.
already given it to us. So I'm sitting over here, Lord, give me wisdom, but I am not willing to discipline myself to get into the Word of God to look to see what he has to say about something.
Well, you know, that's part of it. And, you know, when it says discipline, we have to prioritize and we have to make sure that we are willing to read the Word of God and prayerfully apply it to our lives. You're listening to Exploring the Word, Alex McFarland, Bert Harper. We're going through the book of Proverbs. This is Lesson 1. You've tuned in at a good time. So stay with us. We're back after this brief break at our look at God's book of wisdom, Proverbs.
AFR Talk.
Connect with Alex and Bert on the Exploring the Word Facebook page and watch the latest broadcast, facebook.com/exploringtheword.
The Word of God calls it instruction, understanding, knowledge, learning, counsel. What is it talking about? All of those words are references to wisdom. And we welcome you back to Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland here with Bert Harper, and we're doing a study through the book of Proverbs. God's book on wisdom, so we hope you'll stay with us through it all. Bert, it's amazing. Solomon had a very unique life, didn't he?
He did, from his birth, birth to a lady and a man that...
David had done something very unwise, but yet God brought good out of it, didn't he?
That's Romans 8, 28 and 29, isn't it?
Yes.
You've quoted verse 7, and I want to quote that again. Yeah. We're going to try to quote it in each session because I think it is the theme, as best we can determine,
The
book of Proverbs. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction."
Right.
Now, notice what the next verse says, chapter 1, verse 8. "My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother." Now, I want to share something else that you get from the book of Proverbs, and that's a family unit, okay?
Yes.
We didn't necessarily have this written down to talk about, but I could not help but notice that because several times all through the book of Proverbs, it will be talking about the mother and the father.
Mm-hmm.
So the family unit here by Solomon is instructed as a place of learning.
Sure.
Absolutely. It should start early, shouldn't it?
Well, you know, the Christian home has been called the church in miniature. And really, part of the reason I think that our nation is in such dire straits right now is because you've got children raising children. And you've got, in many a relationship, there's not a mother and father married raising their kids together and certainly not committed to raising them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And you've got unwise people, and the Bible calls it foolish people passing their foolishness on to the next generation. Now, in the book of Proverbs, there is a lot of praise of wisdom and goodness and righteousness. Conversely, there are warnings about unrighteousness. There's the praise of wisdom and the call to live wisely, but then there are some very, very graphic warnings about living unwisely. And so we're going to talk about all these things because it's important. The central theme is the getting of wisdom, which comes from God.
Only from God, real wisdom.
That's true.
Now, experience is good. Let's discern the difference. Experience is living life and learning from the experiences that you have, things you do, the things that you don't do. God even used experience in reminding the children of Israel what they did at Kadesh Barnea by turning away from God and not taking the land that God said, "I'm giving to you." And he would remind them of that, not against them, but to warn them. You don't want that to happen again. So, Alex, if you can combine experience and wisdom, that is a great blessing.
Yeah.
And that's why in the book of Proverbs, it does talk about the white-headed individuals, that if they have wisdom, but experience doesn't necessarily make wisdom.
That's true. And, you know, I believe one of the most urgent needs within the body of Christ today is for wisdom. Because so much about, you know, living for Christ as a disciple, and just remember the hierarchy, my friend. There's you and your relationship with the Lord Jesus. Then there's your relationship with your spouse and family. Then there's your relationship with others. Oftentimes, we put the most amount of energy and the greatest investment in our career and what we do, and we neglect what we are. Bert, I think one of the wisest things, and we'll see this in the book of Proverbs, we've got to remember there's a difference between what we do and who we are. Oftentimes, people define themselves by the things that they do. But really, that is secondary or tertiary. Who we are, in God's perspective, the thing that you need to focus on most is the kind of person you are. Number one, are you a born-again believer? And if you are, then are you doing what Matthew 6:33 says, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? I was in a church to speak yesterday because we're recording this very first thing on a Monday, so Bert and I are on the road preaching on Sundays. But somebody asked me, what is the will of God for their life? How do you know the will of God? And the first most primary will of God, the plan of God, the desire of God for every Christian is to be conformed to the image of Christ.
Yeah.
That's job one, isn't it?
It is, and that's the reason I use Romans 8:28-29 together.
Okay.
Yeah, God does work all things for your good, but you go down to verse 29 and you find out what that good is to be conformed to the image of Christ.
That's right.
That's the good. So God is able to take even our mess that we bring to him and give it to God, and God is able to work it for good. And the illustration that you used earlier is Solomon, how David and Bathsheba's, their relationship started unwise, sinful, but God used that relationship to bring forth Solomon, who would be the king and the wisest man other than Christ that we know that ever lived. And that's what the sovereignty of God is able to do. God is only God, Alex. Isn't that a beautiful term, only God?
Only God can do it, and God can do it. And friend, do you know what the book of Proverbs will do? I'm going to throw this out, and you respond, Bert. The book of Proverbs will save you some time in your life. If you will take God at his word, Proverbs will save you time. Now, what do you think I mean by that?
Well, it tells you things to do. It tells you things to avoid. And each one of those, you won't have to spend your time relearning. Now, I want to share with you, have you ever heard about a company that's going to hire someone? And they've got these two individuals. One has great experience, okay? Yeah. And he comes from a company where they learn to do it a certain way, okay? The company that he's interviewing does not do it that way. So the other person that is applying is a young man or young woman who is just, you know, ready to learn. Many times they will take the one without the experience. Why? Because before you learn, you have to unlearn.
That's right. That's
right. And that's what the book of Proverbs will help you. If you will follow the book of Proverbs, you won't have to spend a lot of time unlearning what the world teaches.
That's right. You know, there's a book that goes with this. I wrote a book on Proverbs. It's actually a devotional book, and it goes with this series. And when I was working on that a couple of years ago, I read an article about America's Fortune 500 companies. And, you know, these are the ones that all the college grads would love to work for. And they asked the CEOs of the Fortune 500 companies, what do you look for in a new hire when you're going to offer that dream job to somebody? And it could have been the degree from the Ivy League school or this or that. More than 80% of all the CEOs said the one thing they look for, the one most important attribute, is integrity. And they said, look, we can teach the HR manual to people. We can get people into our corporate culture. But if they don't have integrity, we can't really use them.
I haven't heard the college course on that available yet.
I know. Isn't that something? Now, we live in the age of the information superhighway, and there's so much data. And they say there's 120 terabytes of information for every person on the planet. And that's just more than we can even get our mind around. But Proverbs is a book that the Spirit of God will use in your life to call you to integrity, to wisdom, to character. And nowadays, as we're so, you know, we think we've just got to claw our way through the path of life. No, friend, the number one thing, most important thing of all, to know Christ, to be increasingly conformed to the image of Christ, then to live your life from God's perspective. And Proverbs will give you the mind of Christ, the vantage point of God, as you approach the situations of life. Now, isn't it amazing how times change and we invent gadgets, but basically human nature and life doesn't change?
It does not change. Let me ask you this now, and I think this would help. I go to Philippians, you know, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, okay?
Yes.
Philippians 2, 5 through 10. Also, in the book of Proverbs, we see Christ. Is Christ and wisdom synonymous? In other words, if you come and you're born again and you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and the Holy Spirit comes and lives in your life, okay, he brings who he is into your life. Now, you don't have to hear him. That's the whole idea. But he brings who he is. So is wisdom in the book of Proverbs and receiving Christ, receiving wisdom, they're the same. Don't get me wrong, but it is a picture of what Christ does, is it not, in our lives? Is that an okay statement that I've just made concerning
absolutely,
that?
Absolutely, absolutely. Wisdom is personified, and in the book of Proverbs, it talks about wisdom calling out. In fact, I want to read a couple of verses from chapter 1, because chapters 1 through 3 are really kind of an introduction to Proverbs. But wisdom is personified as calling out and crying out. And I think, yes, it is a picture of Jesus. I really do.
I do.
But I think it's the entire Trinity, because there's so much about fathers, and then there's the idea of wisdom calling out. And friend, if you feel drawn, you know, you're listening to this, you say, you know, I really do. There's some stuff I need to clean up in my life. I really need to let God be God in my life. That's the Holy Spirit of God drawing you. But in verse 20 of chapter 1, it says, wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses. At the openings of the gates in the city, she speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge.
There's that contrast again, isn't it?
That's right. The wise are the foolish. Turn at my rebuke, and surely I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make my words known unto you, because I've called and you refused. I've stretched out my hand and no one regarded. You disdained my counsel and would have none of my rebuke. Now, God is calling right now. And look, God says, if you'll turn and embrace wisdom, which is really embracing me, I'll pour out my spirit upon you. And this is one of the most amazing things, Proverbs 1:23. God is making this offer. Who wouldn't want this? I will make my words known unto you. Now think about this. The eternal God, the foundation of all power, love, wisdom, righteousness, the Creator, is saying, and the way to do this is to get into His Word. God says, I'm going to open up my mind to you and let you be privy to the mind of God. Now, to turn away from that would be very unwise.
When I see verse 23, it says, turn at my reproof. I think we love Him because He first loved us.
Right.
Okay. Verse 23 demonstrates that.
Yeah.
He's the one that reproves us and shows us the direction we're going is wrong. So when we hear Him and turn from His reproof,
yeah,
and He brings His Spirit upon us, and then the Word, His wisdom is poured into us. Alex, I have to admit, it's really what everybody needs, and they don't know it. Our leaders desperately need that.
Yes.
Followers desperately need that. Parents, can you think of anybody in our society who does not need that?
Oh, no, we all need it. And I would say more than ever, more than ever. You know, Bert, we have a fair amount of young people who listen to the show, and it's always a thrill to hear from teenagers. And so life is happening. And look, I remember having all those dreams, wanting to do this, that, and the other. And I still have all kinds of dreams and things I want to do. But I want to think about for a second an Andy Griffith episode. Do you remember when Opie had a boy next door who was not a good influence? And the boy says, look, if you want your way, throw a tantrum.
Right.
And so Opie tries to do this, and he's going to, you know, kind of leverage Andy and get his way. So Opie starts throwing a tantrum, and Andy says, what are you doing? And he goes, well, I'm throwing a tantrum. And Andy goes, well, that's good exercise. And what else are you doing? Well, I'm holding my breath and pouting. Andy says, good, that'll strengthen your lungs. And Opie finally realizes he's just wasting his time and he better do it Andy's way. Now, here's why I say that. In life, you can embrace wisdom now and let Jesus lead you, or you can look back in a decade from now and realize you've wasted time, probably inflicted a few wounds on yourself. Proverbs will save you time if you'll turn to God's blueprint now rather than later. And I want you to give a comment, but I want to look at verse 28 of chapter 1 here in a second.
Go ahead. I want you to do that.
Well, he says, I've called out And some say, I don't want it. I'll have none of your rebuke. And God says, well, when terror comes on you like a storm, then you'll call on me, but I will not answer. You will seek me diligently, but you will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel, and they despised my every rebuke. And here's a frightening verse, verse 31. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way. To a degree in life, I've had to eat some of the fruit of my own making, and it's not very tasty.
Going back to the Andy Griffith Show, there was one episode where he said, eating crow is not a good meal. You know, when you have to eat what you regret doing. Here's the idea. The possibility of living a total life of regret is just something you don't have to do. And in the book of Proverbs, the possibility of having wisdom that God gives is available to us through a relationship with Him. And that's what this whole lesson's about, a relationship with God that brings wisdom to His children. We'll be back with more right after the break.
Now back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert. You're listening to Exploring the Word on AFR Talk. AFR Talk. AFR Talk.
Let the power of your words dwell here richly, changing the ways that I see. Fill me with otherly wisdom. Plant me deep like a tree by the stream.
Some 1,000 years before the book of Proverbs was written, the Word of God was being compiled, and clearly wisdom and the mind of God is something that the human race has been blessed with. And we've got this book here that mentions wisdom and the acquisition of wisdom more than 20 times. And we're going to look as we transition from chapter 1 to 2, 3, and 4. But Bert, it's exciting, isn't it, that we can have the mind of Christ. And we just want to, as we get into the study, we want to encourage you to read. You can read the book of Proverbs pretty quickly in like an hour. You could read the entire 31 chapters. But if you would give yourself just, 4 or 5 minutes a day, you could read a chapter a day.
Good. And what you want to do is find a promise that God gives, a warning that He gives, a principle to live by. And each day, mark that and keep a journal and write that down. Today, from Proverbs, I learned, or I was shown. But you do look for warnings. You do look for promises. I know some folks that just look for promises. Mm-hmm. That's good. But you also want to look for warnings. Isn't that called balance? And that's the amazing thing about the book of Proverbs. A lot of amazing things. I shouldn't say but one of the amazing things about the book of Proverbs is the warning, because you get the contrast and the comparisons. You get folly with knowledge and wisdom. You get immorality with morality. And so those things balance out each other in your mind if you can contrast. But if you go deep end on one, be careful. But look for a promise. Look for a warning. Look for a principle that you can live by.
Well, and chapter 2 talks about it's worth more than jewels. If you seek wisdom like others would seek silver, you're going to find hidden treasure. It says the Lord gives wisdom. Verse 6 of Proverbs 2 says the Lord gives wisdom. That's why, folks, our founding fathers here in America said that they didn't really feel like atheists should be elected officials. Because how could you be truly wise? How could you truly lead with equity and rightness, appropriateness, righteousness, if you don't recognize the one who is the fount and foundation of wisdom?
And it's just filled with this. Chapter 2 is one of those. Verse 9, then you'll understand righteousness and justice, equity in every good path. Look at those two words. You'll understand righteousness and justice. Mm-hmm. How desperate. And you was talking about the forefathers. That was one of the things that had driven them to the Bible and to the way Christians were living, and that was justice.
Yeah.
Because they were not getting justice from the mother country.
Well, that's true. And, you know, we live in the age of the selfie, and everybody now takes hundreds of pictures and they put it on the web and everything like that. And more explicit pictures and celebrities. One of the ways they get in the news is to be just very explicit and I would say immoral. Chapter 2 talks about discretion. Verse 11, discretion will preserve you. We don't live in times that are very discreet, do we?
I don't.
We live in times that are explicit, not discreet.
And people will get their 15 seconds, not 15 minutes,
right.
15 seconds of fame with anything. And with 24-hour news and with the availability of the cell phone and being able to, you know, take a picture of anything at any time, it has changed. We desperately need wisdom on how to live.
Well, we're a country right now that desperately needs wisdom. Chapter 2 talks about entering an illicit relationship, and it talks about that the pathway to the house of the immoral woman is really the staircase down into the grave. Imagine walking down a staircase into a grave. The pathway leads to death, verse 18 of chapter 2. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you may walk in the way of goodness and keep the path of righteousness. The reason I bring this up, Proverbs has a lot to say, not only about wisdom and practical living, but about morality versus immorality.
They do.
About righteousness versus unrighteousness. Bert, we live in a time on the web, there are websites about hooking up. I mean, people lead double lives. How many families, how many marriages have been destroyed? And the tool that helped do that was the internet.
Yeah. In my last few years pastoring full time, most of those affairs that had taken place took place first meeting over the internet. Old friends, quote, hooking up.
Yeah.
You know, looking for someone who understands. And so it's a dangerous thing. I want to tell you, anything like that without accountability to your spouse is a dangerous mechanism.
Yes.
And you want to avoid the possibility of that happening. Let me use that illustration that was used in the New Testament and Old Testament too. If your hand offends you, cut it off. Now, listen, if you can't handle the internet, it's better to not have it than to have it in your home.
And many families that we know, they'll have the internet in a big open room where nobody can, like, be on the internet.
That's
private.
Wisdom, isn't it?
Well, it is wisdom. Yeah, exactly.
Well, let's go to chapter 3 because chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, Alex, many times in a meeting, I'll say, what's your favorite verse? And I want to tell you many, many, many times, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, rate up there real high.
Okay.
Let me read that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths.
Amen.
Okay, here we have what God wants to do and what we should do. And if we will do what God says, we have a promise. I don't know of anything more important than him directing my paths. The paths, the steps of a godly man are ordered of the Lord. Listen, he desires that. The word of God, it talks about the word of God being a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path.
Psalm 119, 9 through 11.
So here we have it. When you combine all of those together, Alex.
Oh, yeah.
The word of God. I'm reminded one more of the New Testament. That's what we try to do on Exploring the Word. Things you can do, but combine this scripture and that scripture, New Testament and Old Testament. I'm reminded of John chapter 6 when many started leaving Jesus, and Jesus said to Peter and the apostles, are you also going to go away? Peter responded, to whom would we go? You have the words of life. When I read Proverbs 5, 3, 5, and 6, those words are life, aren't they?
They really are. I challenge young people to make it their life motto. You know, your life goal, to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Proverbs chapter 3, it's like a father talking to a son, the call, you know, don't forget my law. It's going to be health to your body, strength to your bones. Verses 11 and 12 of chapter 3, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father, the son in whom he delights. oftentimes, you know, as we say down south, God has to take us to the woodshed. Now, the woodshed was back like when my dad would have to say to me, "Go, son, go out there and get a switch." And, you know, did you ever have to get your own hickory?
I'm afraid I did.
And do you know
more than once? I hate to say that, too.
My grandmother, you know, we lived on a farm. Both grandmothers lived with us. You know, when I watched the Waltons on TV, I just thought that's how everybody lived. Yeah. My grandmother, a time or two, she'd look me in the eye, she'd say, "Go get me a hickory." You know what?
Yeah.
Now, I didn't like that, but two things. My grandparents and parents reprimanded me because they loved me. And I learned, hey, wait a minute. If I change what I'm doing, I won't have to go get a hickory.
It does finally register, even with thick-headed people.
Well, I know. I'm slow to the draw. But God loves us enough to reprimand us. If you're his child and you get off the path and you go off into sin or just stubbornness, and I think stubbornness against God is a type of sin, God will have to take you out.
To the woodshed?
Yep.
Okay, let's read verses 13 and 14 because it gives you the value of wisdom, okay? "Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver and her gain than fine gold." Okay, I want to make you an offer. Alex, I want to give you a pound of gold, 2 pounds of silver, or a handful of wisdom.
Wow. Well, you know, the flesh is desirous of that money, but deep in my heart, I know the better thing would be God's wisdom.
And this is what it's saying. You know, get this wisdom because, I mean, truthfully, what does the Bible say? What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And when you look at the book of Proverbs, that's one of the themes of it. Don't lose your soul.
Right.
Don't lose your soul to folly. Don't lose your soul to immorality. Don't lose your soul to control and wealth. Come to me. Isn't that the underlying theme of the book of Proverbs?
Well, it is. More than 20 times throughout these 31 chapters, more than 20 times, this theme will be recurring. Get wisdom. Get wisdom. And the wisdom comes from God. And as you get the wisdom of God, you're going to more deeply know the God of the wisdom. Now, in chapter 3, here are the main things from chapter 3, the benefits of wisdom: a long life, favor and a good name, a straight path, health to your body, you'll be filled to overflowing, and then there'll be the delight of God.
Hmm.
And you know what, friend? Delighting in God. Just being overjoyed about who God is and the fact that he's in your life, delighting in God is a great reward in itself. Now, I want us to we're going to have to move on beyond 3 just a little bit, but it talks about peace, and it talks about not being afraid of a noise or not being afraid of some calamity. Chapter 3 does end up, though, and it talks about how to be a good neighbor and how not to have friction with your neighbor. And there's this reprimand or really admonition, I should say: do not envy the oppressor or choose any of his ways. It's easy to slip into, being jealous of others around us. But what we need to really do is to keep our eyes on Christ and to not crave things that won't help us at all, but to crave being more like Jesus.
Let's look at verse 35 in closing. You have another contrast. "The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the legacy of fools."
Mm.
There it is. A lot of times, one verse in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs more than any other book in the Bible has verses that you just look at and it comes alive. Now, you always want to look what's before it, what's after it, in what context, what kind of literature, and everything like that. But the book of Proverbs kind of, ever so often you find a verse, hey, it's just there, and it's good, and you understand it. Here it is. "The wise shall inherit glory."
Yeah.
God's going to take care, but the shame shall be on the legacy of fools. Which life are you going to choose? Again, reminds me of something else in the Bible. When Moses brought the children of Israel to the place where they were going into the land, He said, I offer you a blessing or a cursing. Which one will you go? If you go after God and obey him, blessing. If you turn away from God and go against him, cursing. That's verse 35, isn't it?
Jay Strack, a great youth speaker, he says, everybody in life will either make a mark or leave a scar. And verse 35, the wise will inherit glory, and not just accolades down here, but I think it's talking about eternal life. But shame will be the legacy of fools.
A wasted life.
Isn't that something?
It is.
I believe if you might be wealthy, famous, powerful, influential, but if you live and die and leave this world in a state of unbelief, your life was a waste.
Real quickly, give us a highlight of chapter 4.
Well, chapter 4 is an amazing chapter because what it does, it talks about getting wisdom, and it says that it's part of the heart, too. Let's go to verse 23 of chapter 4, because it says that we are to guard our heart.
That's it.
And, you know, there's been songs written about this. It's very famously, Guard Your Heart. I don't know if you ever heard that song.
I have.
Because out of the heart, and it's not only talking about emotions, but the decisions we make. It says, out of the heart are the issues of life. Keep it with all diligence. The implication is like a watchman guarding a gate of a city.
As a man thinketh in his heart,
yes,
so is he. And so here you have him giving this. This is most of the things that you cover in the book of Proverbs are introduced in the first four chapters.
Now, they really are.
A lot of them are, I would say, repeated and amplified upon, right? And every once in a while, you'll find something new added, but most of them are similar to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis introduces just about every major doctrine that you'll find in the other books of the Bible. In Proverbs, first four chapters, you will find the introduction to wisdom, to relationships, just about everything you have introduced here in the first four chapters. And I do believe verse 23 is one of the keys to that. Let's talk about that. Keep your heart with all diligence or guard your heart. Now, let's talk about the heart. The heart is the place of your mind, your will, and your emotions.
Exactly.
Okay? So it's different. It's not your beating heart, but it's your mind with that which you understand, your will, that which you decide with, and emotion, that which you respond to. So he says, guard that, Alex. How important. Guard your heart. That's one of the warnings we were talking about, and what a great warning.
Did you ever hear that saying, sow a thought and reap an action, sow an action, reap a habit, sow a habit, reap a destiny? It really does impact the trajectory that we're on, so we are to, with God's help, live wisely.
Thank you for listening to Exploring the Word today. We're going through a series of the book of Proverbs, and we're not taking phone calls during this, but this series will be available later on, matter of fact, so be listening, and it's going to have Alex's book along with it. So be alert. We'll get that out to you so you'll know about it. But thank you for listening to Exploring the Word and going through the book of Proverbs, and we'll be back tomorrow with more.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.